Good evening, class. We're going to begin right where I stopped last class. I told you I would try to pick up this because the thought wasn't really finished at that particular time. But I think we're going to head into another segment dealing with this tongue of ours. Because this tongue is what really speaks those words. But before it gets to the tongue, it has to start somewhere else. The tongue is the release of those words. Those words start on the inside of us. Is it the Bible going to talk about taming the tongue? Apostle gave us a revelation a long time ago, and the statement was, he said, the Bible said, no man can tame the tongue, but he said, but the Holy Ghost can. See, that's the only person that can tame your tongue, the Holy Ghost. So with that thought in mind, Claire, let me begin this next lesson dealing with the tongue, and because it's a good place to, it's a good jumping off spot, or jumping in, not jumping off, jumping in spot. For this class here, and we're going to deal with the tongue, hard to be tamed. And that's over in James here. We're going to be talking about the tongue. So my first statement is this. Very quickly, a man's rebellion, if expressed through his tongue, he may agree with a person to his face, but revile, that word reviling again, but revile him behind his back. He may keep quiet in front of a man, but have much to say out loud later. Do that statement sound sort of familiar? Can any of us say we passed that way before? You know, and we didn't realize that what we were speaking was rebellion. In other words, you don't have much to say in front of your face, but behind your back, you got a ton of things to say you want to express. You see it? That's hidden rebellion. That's what I call it. A rebellion that been laying on the inside of you, but you're afraid to expose it to a person's face, and you think you're hiding it. Now, but the tongue released it. It get the blame for it. Speaking it, but it's not the source of it. You see it? The tongue may lash out the words, but those words got to come from somewhere. And that's where we're going to deal with, where those words come from. You see it? You can speak it, but putting tape over your mouth won't stop it, because you can get a pen and paper and still express those thoughts. So that means it don't have to come out of the mouth. You can put those thoughts down on paper because it came out of your heart. So, Clan, let's deal with this thing, because we don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be missing the mark because we're improperly dealing with ourselves and not being honest with ourselves and not operating with things with a clean, clear heart. Now, number two. It is not hard to use the mouth in rebellion. The people of today's society are all rebellion. When we talk about the people, we talk about the world system, and we're hoping not talking about the church. All rebellious, you see, and we're talking about, we just sum everybody and made it overall, just an overall statement. The world is the rebellious world we're living in, not pinpointing or you know, saying every person in the world system is a rebellious, but the system that we live in, which is a satanic system, I'm trying to make it plain, which is a satanic system that we live in the world system, it's a rebellious system. So now, with that understanding, we live in a society or a system that's rebellious. We only give lip service and outward subjection, but the church ought to be different. In the church, there should be obedience from where, class? From the heart. Now, that's where rebellion always started from. It always started from the heart. And that's what we're trying to deal with. Number three, whether or not there's heart obedience can easily be detected by the words which some would come from one mouth. Now, with that statement, let me explain that statement. Because Even though a person's mouth may speak good things, which can deceive many, according to our textbook, can deceive many. They're saying, oh, that's a very submissive person. He'll never say anything wrong. But sooner or late, whatever in that person's heart, according to Matthew 12 and 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It may linger, it may hide for a few days, for a few months, even for a few years. But sooner or later, those words of rebellion which is in that person's heart are going to be revealed. Sooner or later. Now watch this instance with Eve. Now, we're over in Genesis 3 and 3. When Satan deceived or tempted Eve, she did something. She added words to what God said. Now, when Eve was tempted, she added, neither shall you touch it, to God's word. That's Genesis 3 and 3. Eve said something that God never said. God never said don't touch it. God said don't eat from it. Now, if you don't eat from it, the only thing make you touch it is curiosity and reasoning. So when you touch it, that means you didn't got into the place of reasoning. You say, well, it wouldn't hurt just to touch it. But most of the time, you touch something, you can go to the next level. So God wouldn't say touch it. God says don't eat from it. See, that was a rule. That was a measuring stick for Adam and Eve. That was authority. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the authority that God had set Adam and Eve under and gave them the word to obey that tree and not to even eat off of it. It put Adam under government. It put Eve under government. He said, don't touch it. No, God didn't say don't touch it. Don't eat of it. For the day you eat of it, you're going to be as God and know good and evil. Now, let us realize how serious this is. One who knows the authority of God would never dare add a syllable. The word of God is clear enough. He said, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Genesis 2:1, 2:16, and 17. God never said, touch not. This was added by Eve. All who easily changes God's word, either by adding or by deleting, give evidence that they do not know authority. They do not know what the rule says. Hence, they are rebellious and untaught. Or untrained, undisciplined. You see it? Now, Brother Nee gave a good example of how this is to be handled in the natural realm to give an understanding how to compare natural things with spiritual things. Now, he says, suppose one is sent someplace by his government to be a representative and spokesperson, surely that one would try to memorize what he has been commissioned to say, and he would not dare add any of his own word. Well, I like to make this more realistic. See, this is a Bible school and a school of learning, and so I like to use something that close to home. You see, I've never worked for a government, and most of the time, or most likely, you never either. But you do work or submit yourself to a spiritual leader. Now, sometimes that spiritual leader will give you a certain assignment, and I can use this for example, and certain assignments have to be carried out exactly like you said. I remember one particular time I had to deal with a man that spoke to a young girl. He was twice her age. And the young girl, a little naive, apostle said, Rhonda, go handle that for me. And you handle it just like I said, handle it. Because you want to make sure the person, the guy got the message. So I did like this. I rehearsed in my mind just how I was going to handle it, just like apostle said. And the apostle said on the strong side. And so I could not save face when I approached the matter. Sometimes it wasn't the easiest thing to do. I got a good point. That's why, as serving as church leader, apostle told us a long time ago, and I hope this helps somebody, he said, always keep yourself on arm length from people. And what did that mean? Never get too close to anybody within the church. Not that you can't talk with them. Not that you can't befriend nobody. No, but that same person you didn't got too close to, you might have to rebuke or correct. And so I practice that. Yeah, you live a little lonely life as church leader sometimes. Sometimes people think you just don't fellowship with nobody. But no, you're on assignment. Church time, church is business, and you're on assignment because apostle is watching over the flock, and we're to assist them in watching over the flock. I'm talking about those in church position. And so as we assist them, sometimes we're given assignments that may not be too delightful. So I had to bring this man in the office, and I began to explain to him just like apostle said it. So he'll get the message, and the message become clear and precise, just like he said it, so he wouldn't have to have no problem with it. Because he's shepherd over these people. He got to watch over these flocks. He got to protect the young girl. He got to protect that's why this church is one of the cleanest church I ever seen for my whole life. Thanks be to God of a man of God that's not afraid to deal with what he ever got to deal with. And even though I sent it, that him dealing with it. You see it? I just was an in-between person. But he deal with this situation. So he deal with everything. He nips things in the bud. You see, when he see it, he deals with it. He don't let things linger. He don't let things just go unseen and undone. No, we're watchmen with him. And we at church, now I got on to another subject here. But we are co-laborers with our apostle. No, we don't make corrections of our own. It all must be filtered down to him. And be handled exactly. See, we don't take authority on our own. Even though we see something, you can't go correct it on your own. Because, you remember in the scripture. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. When Paul was dealing with this man was a magician. But the scripture said Paul dealt with him after many days. See, sometimes you don't know the wisdom that God has given your spiritual leader. Sometimes something may have to be corrected on the spot, and some things he got to let it run its course. So don't take any authority on your own to make any correction on your own. It all got to come through the apostle, through the head, through the pastor, through the leader. But your eyes have to pay attention. You ain't just sitting in church just clapping your hand and praising God. All that's part of it. But you pray with one hand, you pray with one eye, and you watch with the other eye and with the other hand. Hope I'm making sense to you. I'm talking about how to do ministry and church leadership within the church with your pastor. You see? And another thing, I would never get full socketed into the service. Why? Because I get too full blown, socketed up. I get caught up and I don't have to watch. The Bible says watch and pray. See, when I'm watching, you're watching to see what he can't see. I hope I'm helping somebody. I'm trying to show you how to serve your pastor, how to serve your leader, how to help him watch, how to be a help and not a hindrance. See, I can go try to correct myself, to try to correct somebody. Now, I did this thing all wrong. Now, you got to correct me and him, or me and her. Every time we deal with a woman, we bring another woman in the office with us. Man and a woman don't go in the office correct by themselves. I hope I'm saying something. I'm saying more than you hear it. A man and a woman don't go make correction by, I'm talking about the church leader and the woman. No, you bring another woman with you. You see it? Everything got to be done decently and in order. I hope you hear me. And vice versa, a woman don't correct a man by herself. She bring another man in there with them. Hope you understand what I'm saying. Apostle taught us well. And our job is to put out some of this back to you so you can see how you do. Because most of you are helping your leaders. Most of you are church leaders, and you're helping your pastor. You're helping your leadership do ministry. No, see, more than just going out and preach. Sometimes you think you call them, oh, Lord, don't let me go too far. And sometimes you think you just call to preach, you want to get behind the pulpit. No, ministry is work, W-O-R-K. And you're always watching, and you always stand alert. My eyes stays on my pastor. Even when he's seated in the church, I'm watching. Because I want to see what he needs, what he wants. At a heartbeat, I'm ready to move. Are you with me? And become a part of me over these years. And I just can't help but watch him. You need to keep your eyes on him. You need to keep not your eyes on him, one eye on him, one eye on him, watching. Amen. Amen. That's how you learn. Are you with me? Now, see, I don't want to make all these little pit stops because I never get anywhere. Amen. Now, although Eve saw God daily, she did not recognize authority. Therefore, she carelessly added her own words. Perhaps she figured there was not much difference in a few words, more or less. Now that's a good statement here. It might not sound like a good statement. See, I pay attention. And after you experience things for a while, it's easy. You see, that's a narrow line on God's words, your words. That's a narrow line on your pastor's words and your words, because you got to make sure it's so easy to step over into self-will. You see it? Now, it's because sometimes you can serve so close to your spiritual leader, he can give you so much authority. So sometimes you're going to try to put it on automatic and just trying to think for him. So this is what pastor would do. No, you don't know if that what pastor would do. Always find out what pastor would do. What I'm trying to say, don't try to handle anything on your own. Why? Why? I'm going to say it again. It's you can't figure like Eve that there was not much difference in a few words, more or less. There is a difference in a few words of your own, more or less. So be mindful that you do what you say he say to do. Do what she say to do, and do only what you say to do. Don't try to add to it or take it away. I'm trying to drive a nail home. I'm trying to drive this nail in the wood where it don't come loose. So it can hold you in times like this, make the difference of you being a help or a hindrance, you see. So he ain't got time to deal with you. No, he ain't got time to deal with you. He can't deal with you and deal with somebody else too. I don't want to be a hindrance. I never wanted to be a hindrance. I said, my God, don't let me be a hindrance to my pastor. Now, I'm trying to show you what we are trying to accomplish in these classes here. More than just trying to submit to authority. It's trying to do it the right way. What I said? Trying to do things the right way. All of you all might not be in position that I'm talking about. But if you serve close enough, and if you submitted enough, you're going to be chosen one of those that I'm talking about. You see it? And not you being trying to get your own little ministry on the side. Oh, Lord, let me leave this alone. Trying to make a jumping spot off of your position. One man said, he said, just when I train people up, it was a secular man in his business. He said, just when I train people enough to be able to be a help to me in my business, they won't go start their own. I said, oh my God. You know where I took that at, though? You see it? I said, Lord, don't ever let that happen to me. Let me serve my leader as long as you say serve him. Let me serve my leader as long as that as you say serve him. This prophet told Elisha in 2 Kings, as long as the Lord live, now I said this one before, as long as thy soul live, he said, I will not leave thee. That Elisha made a lifetime commitment to that man of God. He didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't know God was going to transfer our anointing from one person to another. No, he just said his heart, I'm never going to leave him. I'm never going to leave him. You see it? And I'm at the point I serve whoever I need to serve. I serve Donnell Thompson like I serve my apostle. Donnell is the youngest of the Thompson family. And I serve him. And when I get through serving him, I'm going to serve his children. I'm trying to show you where I'm going. Yeah, I'm trying to show you where I'm going. I'm trying to put something in you. Now, I look at one more. Ham broadcast his father's failure. Ham, you remember the story in Ham? The story in Genesis 9, when Noah, his son, and Noah began to drink some wine, and then the Bible talks about he got drunk, and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, had to deal with this situation. They saw him naked, and one of his sons, Ham, went out and told his brother, read that. I'm not going to go to it. Genesis 9, beginning at verse 1. He went to his brother that he found his father naked, unclothed, within the tent, because he was drunk. He drank too much wine. And I'm not going to get over to the wine part. Because you drink too much wine, you're going to get drunk. But correction always comes from top. You see it? God was going to deal with Noah. His son just had to keep submitting. Even submit to drunk Noah. What is that? Even submit to drunk Noah. Yep, that's what I said. Even submit to drunk Noah. So, told his brother. So listen to this statement. He who is insubordinate in heart always expects the authority to fail. Now, evidently, this is me speaking now. This is not so much what the Bible is saying. I'm not trying to add to the Bible or take away from the Bible like we talked about earlier. But I look at the situation, you know, of Ham. And Ham had some insubordination problem in his heart. And Brother Nee said, a person that has insubordination in heart always expect authority to fail. Now, sometimes when rules are not followed and correction is made, I had an older brother. Now, I'm going to hold that part. I had an older brother, two of my older brothers. Well, all my brothers are older than me because I'm the baby. So my two oldest brothers tell me a story. He said, the oldest brother, boy, used to love my dad. They both going to be with the Lord. He said, he used to love my dad so much that when my dad, even after my dad corrected him, boy, he'll forget it so fast, before you know he'll jump on my dad's lap. Just love my dad. And my brother after him, he said, he was so crazy. He said, but not me. I'll stay mad for 3 days when my daddy with me. But soon my dad with him, he said, he forgot about it and just loved him so much, go jump in his lap. He said, Daddy, can I get something for you? And I would laugh at that. But it brings me to this point here. He said he would get mad for 3 days. My dad said, I ain't never whipped that boy no more. That boy stayed mad for 3 days. He said, I got it. But my point is this, it sounds comical, but my point is this, that every child handle correction differently. Now my older brother, he would take the whipping, and boy, and to the day he died, he loved my dad. But my other brother loved my dad, but he loved him from a different aspect. He saw the corrective part of my dad. And so my dad was already the corrective one. But my other brother saw my dad as the loving one. He had two different revelations of my dad. And so my dad was a stern man, and my dad made correction where correction needed to be made. But the way you related to the correction made the difference. So I bring all this back to Ham. Ham probably despised some things in his father's heart. And he said, you know, he always corrected me. I'm just not trying to add to the scripture. He said, so he's not perfect himself. And so they look for flaws and shortcomings and waiting for them to fail. Now, I hope nobody don't know what I'm talking about. Hope it's just me. But sometimes you don't want authority to fail. But sometimes people want authority to fail. Because sometimes the authority, they can't handle the correction, and they want to show their imperfection. So Ham wants to show his father imperfection. I'm trying to drive the nail home. And say, look, he went and told his two brothers, Shem and Japheth, look, dad is naked in the tent, you see? I told you all. And he had something in his heart. God knew it. God judged his heart. Now, if you keep reading the story, you find out that Noah, when he woke from his wine, the Bible said, he knew what his son had done. And I would ask myself, how did Noah know what Ham had did? Did Noah have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom from the Lord? No, his other two sons told him. You see it? Now, that's another key thing. Don't get too close to too many, to let me say this right. Help me, Lord. Don't get close, too close to people when you're afraid. Now, here's another word. Sometimes, you know, people get mad sometimes because, oh, you're a tattletale. You're a tattletale. And I would tell people, sometimes in my teaching, when I was to teach when the pop was out, I said, if you do something that you don't want a pastor to know, don't tell me. Because I'm a tattletale. And so what I'm saying is don't be afraid to be able to be a tattletale. Yeah, I'm not talking about running every little thing, ooh, like a little child. No, but there are some spiritual things, the law that people break that can affect them or affect the ministry or affect what God is trying to do. Yeah, you better tell. So apostle can know how to deal with it, so know how to pray about certain things. Yeah, I'll tell. To this day, I'll tell. So Noah's two sons, Shem and Japheth, I believe they told their father, Father, this was what Ham did. And we came behind, well, we took some blankets, we walked, we wouldn't even look at you naked, and we walked back and we just laid it over you because that's what you would want. You would want your sons to respect you. You see it? Now why? God had to deal with that. Thus Ham got his chance to reveal his father's fault. His doing so fully proves that he was not at all subject to his father's authority. And that's how he exposed himself. God had numbers of ways to allow you to be exposed. You ever heard the old term? And those terms said sometimes just give them enough rope and people will hang themselves. You see it? And sometimes you find out what's in a person's heart. That's why the scripture said, lay hands subtly on no man. No, let them be tested. Let them be tried. Let's see what's in their heart. Let's see how they handle rebuke. Rebuke them first and see how they handle rebuke. If they can handle rebuke more once, if they can handle rebuke twice, so sometimes you think you're being hard, but no, you're trying to find out what's in their heart. You take a couple of whipping, it's going to spoil what you got in your heart. You see it? It's going to spoil what you got in your heart, how you handle whipping, how you handle spiritual whipping. You see it? You see, because whipping going to, correction going to tell what's in your heart, how you handle it. Yeah, I've been corrected a few times in my life. Yeah. Yep. And I pray God that I handle the next one right. What do you mean? You confess and you're going to mess up? I tell you what, though, if I do, I'm gonna handle it right. I don't plan to, but and I don't want to. But if I handle something wrong, I want to be corrected. I want to say, Apostle, correct me. You know, matter of fact, if I do something wrong, I go to myself, Apostle, I messed up. You see it? That's when you get to a place of maturity. You don't try to hide nothing from your spiritual leader. You see it? Sooner or later, they're going to find out. Nothing hidden before God. Are you with me? Now, sometimes I say more than I need to say, but if it helps you, I don't mind saying it. Ordinarily, he outwardly submitted to his father, but it was only half-hearted. Don't be in the ministry half-hearted. Don't be in the ministry half-submitted. You see, I'm trying to get something out of you. Don't do a job half-hearted. Don't do a job half-submitted. Because they can tell. They can tell when you didn't put your heart into something. They can tell when you just do enough just to get by. They can tell when you're just trying to fool them on the outside, but in the inside you just wish. You know, you got some people sitting in church, they're raising their hand, but say, I wish Pastor Herb could get through preaching. I'm tired, I'm ready to go home. He said that last Sunday. You just don't know what's in people's hearts sometimes. You just don't know. Sometimes I hear apostle. You know, he can feel it sometimes. I'm almost through. He'll say things like that. Because you got somebody saying something to themselves. You see it? You pick up things spiritually. Especially when you've been around like he has for so many years and have so much experience. You pick up spiritual vibes from the people. So you can't get close to a true man of God and he don't pick up something that's not totally right. You're supposed to have a certain fear when you go around a true man of God. That if you got any sin, you won't get rid of them before you go in his presence. Lord, I confess this. Lord, I confess that, because I don't want to pick up no sin in me. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Yeah, you need to be mindful how you go in a man's presence, a man or woman of God that walk in the Spirit of God. Yeah, you must have that kind of respect. You must have that kind of submission. Today, many men, due to a lack of love, enjoy criticizing people and take great delight in disclosing others' fault. Ham had neither love nor subjection. He is a manifestation of rebellion. You see it? You wouldn't think brothers would do that to brothers and children would do that to fathers. But we're in these last days. And I tell you what, God is exposing some things. Now let's go to one more. I think I got time for one more. Miriam and Aaron, reviling. We're just going through some instances of reviling. These things were done with words. They were done with words, but God unfolded their heart with words. God began to unveil Miriam's heart. Miriam was younger sister, was older sister to Moses. And Moses and Aaron. And so Moses, God called Moses. You say, why didn't call Aaron to do what Moses did? Why didn't use Miriam? Sometimes people have problems with that. They have a family conflict. And they can't submit. Family sometimes got trouble submitting to family. Sometimes family think they just got equal rights to say anything they want to do because of their blood. The blood, you got the same DNA. So I got certain authority. No, you don't have certain authority. You got to submit just like everybody else submit. And so sometimes it's a pastor, when you're pastoring family, sometimes they get off and they think they can say things they shouldn't be saying. And so God got to deal with them a certain way. Sometimes God got to expose those members of the family and he got to rebuke them before all sometimes. Sometimes God will rebuke a family member before everybody. And how they handle it, it depends upon what's in their heart. And so you're going to see where God dealt with Miriam. Miriam didn't handle Moses' authority, right? And so Miriam said some things to Moses, and God heard it, but Moses thought it was all right to say what she said, because Moses was a little bit of brother, her little brother. You heard I say that? Moses was a little brother, so sometimes people get the flesh mixed up with the spirit. You see it? They get the flesh mixed up with the spirit realm. And so Aaron spoke, Miriam, let's see, number 12. It recalls how Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses and dragged family affairs into the work of Moses, into the work of God. And they occupy a unique position in God's calling. Miriam and Aaron were mere subordinates. In other words, they were working under Moses. And Moses was the chief, and this should have been submitted to him. But sometimes family get that mixed up. They think they should have the same liberty to, or more liberty to do or say things than other members of the family, or not family, other members of the congregation. But God dealt with them particularly. This was God's ordering. Nevertheless, these two rebelled, Aaron and Miriam, against the order that God had set up, and expressed their feeling by speaking against Moses. They did not know authority. Since knowledge of authority seals mouth, I like that statement, seals mouth and settles many problems, natural difficulties are solved as soon as they encounter authority. So they never encountered God's authority with Moses. They never encountered a God that Moses was connected to God, and so they felt like they could say whatever they needed to say. Miriam merely said, hear what she said, has Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken with us also? You see, she thought, in other words, implying, then Miriam was saying, Moses, you think you're the only one God talked to? God talked to all of us. One man on the job, you know, he had a problem with his supervisor. He said, he put his pants on just like me, one leg at a time. No, it might sound true. Yeah, you put your pants on one leg at a time like him. But he has certain authority over you, and you got to submit to him. Yeah, he's a man. And yeah, you're a man. So yeah, Miriam was, and Aaron were people that God may have used in time past. But Moses was God's selected person here. She did not seem to say much, yet God perceived that this was slanderous. Probably she had many more words still left unuttered, just as an iceberg has only one-tenth of its masses appearing on the water, while the other nine-tenths of it remain hidden in the water. See, sometimes people, they only say what's on the surface of their heart, but they've been holding many other things. Moses did a lot of other things. Moses said a lot of other things I didn't agree with, but I ain't going to talk about it all right now. I'm just going to let you know what this is. But God saw that as slanderous word. And the Bible said that God heard it. God heard those words. And when God heard the word, God had to deal with those words. Those words were real to God, and God knew that he had placed Moses in a certain position. However, like the words may be, if there is a rebellious spirit within a person, he will immediately be discovered by God. So you can't hide rebellion, no matter how long it stays and how long it's been there. It's finally going to come up, and God going to deal with it. Matter of fact, my time is running out. What happened was God had to deal with Miriam. The Bible said Miriam became white as snow. And the Bible said Moses fell on his face before God. You know, God delivered Miriam from that. But he said you got to stay in the camp for 7 days. He said 7 days, and after you can be healed. He said then we're going to move on. But I tell you what, here's another point I'm going to bring out before I close. And I'm going to close with this statement. Rebellion, sometimes people think they can stop a work of God. But rebellion might slow down the work of God. You see, Miriam words and Aaron's words that may have been in his heart, they slowed down the work of God because they couldn't travel for 7 days because Miriam had to go outside the camp because she was leprosy. She was leprous. But she slowed it down, but she didn't stop it. After 7 days, God moved on with his assignment. So my point is this. That I don't care if sometimes people think they can stop and move with God. You never stop what God started. God will deal with you. If you get in, get out, or get run over, God can do it without you. Don't ever think that you God can't replace you. Yeah, and I find that out. Yeah, many have been replaced. God, you're never that valuable where God can't replace you. So always keep yourself out of harm's way and be submitted. Out of love and out of a pure heart, because I want to spend my entire life serving my apostle, and I just want to keep serving him as long as my heart lives, as long as he lives. So, class, I can't go no further, but I tell you what, you've been good listening, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much.